Welcome to Cranford Radio. We're here with some folks from the Cranford Dramatic Club, and as we often do when they're going to be putting on a new production, going to learn a little bit about it. We have four folks who are involved with this. And why don't we start off by talking about what this play is, The Wild Party. Who wants to tell me what The Wild Party is about? Just give me a little bit of a summary.
Hi, this is Sean. I'm the director. What's The Wild Party? It is a wild romp. It's a fantastic musical based on a poem, a novel-length poem from 1928. And it's jazzy and fun and everything that the name implies. It is wild. It's a love story of these two kind of tragic figures who love each other, but haven't watched a single episode of Oprah. There's not really a lot of inward self-examination. They're very much grappling for dominance in this relationship, and they decide to throw a party and invite all of their friends. And it's as wild and over the top as you can imagine. A bunch of theater vaudeville folks would create as they come together in one night for this event.
Now, the rest of you, I guess, are in the play. So tell me, why don't we start with you? Tell me a little bit about what your role is.
I play Nadine, and she's like the minor at the party. It's made like very clear in the beginning. They're like, a minor. And throughout the play, she has like little things that kind of sort of influence it a bit. I know Shane's character, Burrs, kind of flirts with her sometimes, and she kind of causes a little havoc between, like, the love triangle that's going on with their characters. And, yeah, so that's basically what her role is in the show.
Shane, tell me about what you're going to be doing.
So I'm playing Burrs. He's a little bit of a complicated vaudeville clown. He's the one half of the tragic relationship that Sean was talking about. How do I explain Burrs? He's a little sad and complicated is the perfect word. But I think that it's he has this obsession with Queenie, and as the night starts to go on, and they're kind of playing this game of tug and war with each other, trying to make each other jealous, kind of come out on top as the alpha. But in the end, somebody ends up a little sadder than the other, but they're both a little sad, I think. So.
And Colleen, speaking of Queenie, that's the role you'll play, right?
Yes, I am Queenie. I'm the other half of that tragic relationship.
It's a fun play. Let me just say, it's a fun play. Don't we keep saying it's tragic.
Yes. Just as Shane was saying, they have a very tumultuous relationship where the other one is always trying to outdo the other, and one of them is always trying to come out on top. And so it's really Queenie who comes up with the idea to throw this party to try to come out on top, thinking that she will humiliate Burrs in the process and that she will end up looking fantastic. Things do not go according to plan at all. In the process, we meet another character named Black, where originally Queenie tries to use him basically as a pawn, tries to use him to her advantage to make Burrs jealous. And in turn, then Burrs tries to use Nadine to make Queenie jealous. So it's a little bit of back and forth. But it evolves rapidly where it gets out of control and things happen in a way that Queenie or Burrs did not anticipate. And that's really the climax of the show in the second act, where it's no longer in their control and things just get out of hand.
Sean, how did this particular play get picked to start off the new season?
I was asked to direct this one, and it's one of those shows that it's very difficult to do, so a lot of companies don't do it. But CDC likes to do challenging works, and so when I was asked, I was like, absolutely, because it's such a rarity, it's not one of the standard Rodgers and Hammerstein, in the pantheon of shows that people do regularly. It's not Legally Blonde, it's not Heathers, it's not any of those shows. It needs a fantastic orchestra, and it needs real singers and real singing actors. So that was part of why I wanted to do it. And it just seemed to fill out this season particularly well. It's not one the theater's done before. It's not one that's been done in the region. And so we had fantastic turnout when we announced auditions. We were blown away by the talent that came out. And it actually made our jobs harder, but it was a good hard because we had a lot of fantastic people to choose from.
For the role of Nadine, was that something that you had your eyes set on when you auditioned for this?
Actually, yes. I wrote it down because I thought I kind of wanted something more small and kind of like trying to get my foot back into theater a bit. So yeah, I actually wrote down Nadine at the auditions. I kind of wanted Nadine, yeah.
And so I'm sure you're thrilled that you managed to hook that role.
Yes, definitely.
Shane, is musicals the type of play that you find yourself particularly attracted to versus a straight drama, let's say, or a comedy?
I tend to fluctuate where I'll go for, you know, I'll go one after the other. I'll do a bunch of musicals right in a row, and then I'll have to kind of take a break and say, well, maybe I'll do a play for right now, because it's just a different type of it's a different type of performing, and you kind of get into the character a little differently depending on what it is. For something like this, you can go to places of like extravagance and really over emote, whereas in a straight play you kind of play depending on what play you're doing, you will be a little more natural and it's a little more calming depending on what it is. This in particular is not calming for me. It's very stressful. This role is a very stressful role, but yeah, I tend to go back and forth.
Now obviously with plays that are put on by the Cranford Dramatic Club, you're amateurs in the sense of this is not your full-time job. You have day jobs that you go to, and then you come here in the evening to rehearse, and then finally on weekends to perform. For you as a singer, coming in, is it difficult making that switch from the 9-to-5 life to what you have to do when you're on stage?
I would say absolutely not. This is always on my mind, even during work. I'm very lucky in the sense that the 9-to-5 I do have will allow me to sometimes wear headphones and I'll be running over music, or, you know, I live in the city, so I always have my headphones on. I'm going over my script on the train. I take New Jersey Transit here always, so I'm always looking at my script or the score or listening to my rehearsal tracks over and over again. This is such an intense show where it has become an obsession for me, where I've lived with it from the second that I found out I was cast as Queenie. It's constantly on my mind. This show warrants that kind of attention. This is, not to put down anything in the regular lexicon of musical theater, such as The Sound of Music, but this just demands that you pay more attention to it, and you have to dig deeper than if I were playing Liesel in The Sound of Music. It just requires it. So, and you have to pull from very personal places. So it has constantly been on my mind for the past 3 months. It's always there. And it's not a switch I turn on and off. If anything, like the 9-to-5 job is the thing that easily gets switched on and off.
Let me ask a general question of the three of you who are acting in this play. Is this something that you're, in terms of acting, that you're satisfied doing it as sort of an amateur after hours on weekends? Or is it something that if you could, you would like to do this full time? At least two of you I know work in the city, so you're around Broadway and that energy that happens in the city. But I'll ask that general question, and whoever wants to answer can.
What I always say to this kind of question, I get this question a lot. You know, when I was doing this earlier on and when I was in college, I might have gone to a few professional auditions here and there to test the water, see what I wanted to do. And then I realized quickly that if I was doing this as a full-time, like hitting the grind, hitting the audition grind, going from audition to audition to audition to audition, rejection, 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 having to deal with all that, because that's so often what it is when you're really going at it, I don't think that I would enjoy it anymore. And it wouldn't be this outlet for me anymore. It would be a struggle, and it wouldn't be something that, you know, what I like, my job is very analytical. So all day I'm dealing with numbers and running analyses, and then I come here and I get to sing it out, which is a really nice balance. And I say, I'm a Libra, I really need balance. So like, it's a really nice balance for me. But the main point is that if I was doing this as for full time, I probably wouldn't enjoy it anymore because it would be a struggle.
How about for you? Is this something that you kind of fell into? Was it something that you were involved with in school and then found yourself looking for an outlet, a creative outlet, after you graduated?
Well, right now I'm actually at County College. I'm a sophomore there. And I think I'm still kind of looking at my options. Theater is something I really love to do, but I do know like the harsh reality of how it's not very profitable to most. So that's always in the back of my head, and that's actually one of the main reasons I went to County College, or I'm going currently, is to kind of just see what I really want to do because I really enjoy it. So I feel like if I could make a career out of it, that would be amazing. But I'm also trying to look more realistically. So my answer is like I'm still figuring it out.
Sean, being the director, is that something that you enjoy equally to performing? Do you have a preference as to what role, so to speak, that you play when you are involved with a production?
My performers may disagree. However, the performers right here listening might disagree. But I have to say, I think directing is actually easier. Yes, exactly. If you cast well, then your job as director is half done. That being said, I have been thinking about this show for about 12 months since I first found out that I was going to be directing it, and so you know the research starts, and I love doing that, but it was a good 6 months before we started casting or thinking about casting, so I had all of that time, and now it's like. Now it's very much at a point where like it's becoming real. It's becoming what I imagined in my head for a year. I think it would be much harder, especially after I watched the dance auditions, the dance rehearsals. I'm very happy that I'm not in this show. As much as I love the score, I don't know how these performers do it, because you have to be like a thoroughbred horse. You have to have that kind of stamina and training to be able to do everything that they do on stage. It's crazy. It's crazy that I'm asking them to do this.
You talk about researching this for the past year. What goes into researching a play like this?
Well, this one actually was a little hard because this was an off-Broadway play. There's way more written about Broadway shows. So there was a lot of old articles that I was having to track down reviewing the off-Broadway production. I could find tons of stuff with the Broadway production. But it takes place in 1929 before the crash. So there's all kinds of history and documentaries about Prohibition, because that's very much a part of these people's lives. And this was also a period of economic boom in the U.S. Before the crash. People were speculating wildly. People thought that that the Prohibition laws were crazy. So why should they pay attention to any laws? And then also researching vaudeville at the time and what was popular, what were the themes, and about the time that this play takes place, vaudeville was kind of petering out because talkies were coming in and really grabbing people's attention. So it's like looking at all of those things sociologically that were going on in America and in New York specifically. That's a lot of the backstory that's in my head. I don't know how much of we're going to see on stage, but I felt it was important to know.
Well, of course, we're going to have the link on this podcast to where you can buy tickets, but tell us the dates and the times that the play is going to be performed, if you would.
Sure. We open on October 13th, that's 8 o'clock, and we run for 3 weeks, and on the 22nd, we have a matinee that's at 2.
Well, again, we've been talking with folks who are involved with the next production at the Cranford Dramatic Club, The Wild Party. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you.